What does the Bible mean when it talks about election? Maybe you've heard all kinds of things, some complicated and some even difficult to square with Scripture and theology. That's the topic of today's discussion. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and welcome to Grace in Focus, a program where we seek to be clear about what saving faith is and what it is not. Our current series is Confident in Christ, and the source for these programs is, first of all, God's Word, the Bible, and then a book written by Bob Wilkin, one of our discussion leaders, which is also entitled Confident in Christ. You can purchase the book in our bookstore at faithalone.org. Now, let's jump right into our discussion with Sean and Bob. Here is Grace in Focus.
Hello, and welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We've been talking about the doctrine of assurance of salvation. Now, we've been arguing that you can and should have assurance simply by believing in Jesus, by believing in something outside of you, external to you, and not based on anything internal in your feelings or behavior or anything like that. It's totally just taking Jesus at his word. But not everyone believes that, and there are verses in the Bible that seem maybe to contradict that. One of those is 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Let me read that for you now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says this: "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So be diligent to make your call and election sure. What does that mean, Bob? What's the problem here?
Yeah, the problem is that many Calvinists, people who believe in individual election to eternal life or everlasting life, they see in this verse proof that you are to look at your works in order to know that you're one of God's elect.
So you can't just take Jesus at his word. They think Peter is saying, that's fine, but you need to make sure and confirm it by looking at your life.
Exactly, because if you go back in the context before verses 10 and 11 to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, what you find is Peter says, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You have to add all these character qualities, and if you add all these character qualities, then you can make your calling and election sure. And so a lot of Calvinists say the way you know you're one of God's elect is by adding these character qualities. Now, I know you've written a book on election arguing that, what's your title? It's Chosen
it's
to Serve?
Chosen to Serve, Why Divine Election is to Service, Not to Eternal Life. But before we get to that, let's give them some credit here.
Okay.
All right. So 2 Peter chapter 1, he is saying that you have to add these things, and it's not guaranteed that you will have all of these other kind of character qualities, these virtues.
Oh, no, that's absolutely sure, yeah. I mean, that's what Peter says.
Yeah, we're supposed to add, and it's possible that we won't.
Right.
It's possible that you fail to grow as a Christian. It's possible that you won't grow to spiritual maturity.
Right, and everybody who looks at this passage recognizes that. All the commentators recognize
that. So we all agree about that. And we also all agree, I think, that we need to make sure that our calling and election is sure. We're not guaranteed of that either, right?
No, that's exactly right. Although, notice, Sean, that it doesn't say election and calling. It says calling and election.
Mm-hmm.
Calvinists say that election precedes calling.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says calling precedes election. I think that this is not talking about everlasting life at all, but this is talking about ruling with Christ in the life to come, and we'll get to that more in a minute. I think the context is clear, but you're absolutely right. We've got to add to our faith. Faith alone is not going to give you this. You've got to add to faith.
Whatever this is, it takes more than just believing. And if it takes more than just believing, we know this is not the point of being born again or even your eternal destiny, because that is only by believing.
I have a friend who went to Dallas Seminary with me. He was married with several kids, and so he was working full-time while he was in seminary, and he took 5 years to graduate. So he graduated the year after I did. But during his fifth year, he was preaching on this very passage, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. And he noticed that in verse 5, it said, add to your faith. And he was a five-point Calvinist, and he believed in lordship salvation, that you had to be committed and obedient. But he had always thought that faith necessarily produced these character qualities. But that's not what Peter says here. Peter says, add to your faith. And he said the thing that really grabbed him is at the end of this passage, in verse 11, Peter says, so a rich entrance to the kingdom will be added to you. The same Greek word, epikoregeo, appears at the end of the passage. And what my friend Tom said was that instantly, it was like hundreds of dominoes in his head falling over, because he had studied the grace position while he was in seminary and rejected it. And suddenly he became what we would call a free grace person, because he recognized that what Peter was saying here was, if you want this rich entrance to the kingdom, well, then you're going to have to add these character qualities.
What you're saying is this isn't about going to heaven or hell when you die. This is about something to do with the kingdom. What is that?
Well, if you look at the end of verse 11, and you quoted that, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. That word abundantly could also be richly. It's an abundant entrance. It's a rich entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Ultimately, this is looking at the millennial kingdom followed by the new earth, not the third heaven, but we're destined to come back to earth after the rapture, after when Christ returns. We'll be on the millennial earth with Jesus and then on the new earth. But notice it's a rich entrance. It's not just an entrance. Every believer will enter, but only believers who add the character qualities will have this abundant entrance.
Wait a second. Just hold on right there,
okay.
Because that is not popular theology.
No.
Popular theology is everybody gets everything equal. You know, we're all in the same cloud. We're all with the same harp. Whatever it is, we're all equal. But you're saying that's not what Peter's teaching.
Well, do you remember when Jesus said the first will be last and the last will be first? Well, that shows there's a hierarchy in the kingdom. Or in the parable of the minas, he talked about one servant of his that was going to rule over 10 cities and another who was going to rule over 5 cities. That's not the same. And a third one who wasn't going to rule at all. And of course, in Matthew 6, he says, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the treasure we lay up is the treasure we get. We don't get treasure we didn't lay up. And so while it's true that every believer is going to have joy forever, there's not going to be anybody that's bummed out for eternity in the kingdom, right? We're all going to have joy. We're not going to have pain and suffering. But it's not true that we're all going to have the same abundance of life. In fact, when Peter talks about an abundant entrance, he doesn't just mean the way you enter. This is a metaphor for their entire experience in the kingdom. Because some are going to rule with Christ and some aren't. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will reign with him.
So this comes down to what people call the doctrine of eternal rewards.
Yes.
God gives rewards. Rewards are conditioned on how you have lived, how faithful you have been, how you have served him and your neighbor in life. And if you haven't served, if you've been one of these, what my senior pastor would call a good-for-nothing Christian, if you've been one of these good-for-nothing Christians, you're still saved, but you're not going to be rewarded.
Right. I remember I was at a meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society, it was about 20 years ago, and I heard a leading New Testament scholar say there will not be degrees of reward in the kingdom. He argued what you were saying earlier. That doesn't seem fair. How could my eternal experience be more or less based on what I did? But you remember in Galatians 6 where Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Well, is that true or not true? Do we reap what we sow in this life? The scriptures are clear that God is going to reward us based on what we've done in this life. If we've been faithful for Christ, we're going to hear well done. But if we've not, then we will not hear that well done. And some will rule with Christ and some won't. Some will have an abundant experience in the kingdom and some will not.
So these are born again people. It's about growing to Christian maturity. And the goal is this hierarchical possibility in the kingdom. Well, how does that affect how we should understand call and election? Most Christians believe in election, but they only believe in two kinds of election. They all think that God chooses individuals to have eternal life or not to have it. And they kind of disagree about how that works. Some say God just chooses willy-nilly who's going to believe and who he's going to pass over. And others say that God can see into the future who's going to believe, and he elects those people based on their foreseen faith. Now, you and I have had lots of conversations about this, and we've written and published about this, and we have suggested that a third view is true. And the third view is that God doesn't choose individuals for eternal life at all. That's not what election is about. Election's not for eternal life, but biblically speaking, election is for when God chooses people, places, and things for service and reward. It's for service, not for eternal life.
That's exactly right. And in this verse, he says, make your call and election sure. This call and election concerns ruling with Christ. The calling is the invitation to be one of Christ's co-heirs in the life to come. And the election is being chosen to rule with Christ. Do you remember in the Gospels, Jesus said, many are called, but how many are chosen?
All of them?
No.
Oh.
Few. Few are chosen. And that refers, by the way, the same order. Notice, calling and then choosing. That refers to ruling with Christ. And so what's going on here is what Peter is saying is, you need to confirm that right now, if Christ were to return, you would be chosen to rule with Christ. Then you're to continue in that, of course. And by the way, the interesting thing here is the word for make your calling and election sure, the same Greek word is used later in the passage when at the Mount of Transfiguration, they had the prophetic word more sure. In other words, they were already certain of the prophetic teaching, but they had confirmation of it. And that's what's going on here. You're confirming that you're one of the people who will have this abundant entrance.
The bottom line is, on the one hand, you can be absolutely certain that you have everlasting life. You can be certain that you're born again and that you're going to be forever with Jesus. But what Peter wants you to do is to also be sure that you're going to have an abundant experience in that kingdom.
Right.
And you need to make sure of that by adding all of these virtues to your faith. You can't take your spiritual growth for granted. You have to take charge of that. You have to intentionally follow the Lord. You have to hear that word, renew your mind so that your life would be renewed. You have to be in a good Bible teaching church so that one day when you're with Jesus and you enter his eternal kingdom, it will be with an abundant entrance and not a poor one.
Amen.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that thoughtful discussion from 1 Peter chapter 1. This is Grace in Focus, and I thank you, all of our friends, for being here with us today. If you visit faithalone.org, you'll find many ways to learn more about Grace Evangelical Society, the parent organization of this radio ministry. That's faithalone.org. If you want to help with the ongoing of this ministry, your financial giving is very much appreciated. Just find our donate button at faithalone.org, right up at the top of the homepage. You can also find the book mentioned in today's broadcast, Chosen to Serve, by Sean Lazar, in our bookstore at faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, are there some tests that will help us know where we stand with God? What did John mean in the first epistle when he said, "By this we know that we know him"? I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.